Chapter 41. Absent Fathers. Battle Barge Charybdis, four decks. Vulcan walked the halls of the Charybdis. Like some lonely wraith, he moved slowly with barely a spark of life. It could not be real. Numeon's mind screamed at him to deny it. And yet, "Father!" Numeon cried out, feeling the sudden tremor of excitement within Zitos too. But Vulcan kept up his slow, purposeless tread, his armored footfalls ringing dully against the deckplate. In a few more seconds, he slipped from sight. "It's not possible," Zitos breathed, stunned, and a few steps behind Numeon as he chased down the Primarch. "It's not possible." The words resounded inside Numeon's head as he tried to remember where he had been and what he had been doing before this moment. But there was only Vulcan leading them on. His rational mind rebelled, but his emotions had ensnared him. Vulcan walked. It had happened before, on Macrag. Vulcan had arisen. None had seen it, not like this, but it was the same. The Lord of Drakes lived, albeit clenched in some strange and somnambulant state. As Numeon neared the end of the junction where Vulcan had just disappeared, Zitos cried out,
"Brother, wait!"
Despite the desperate emotion hauling on his limbs, Numeon stopped and turned to regard his sergeant.
"I didn't see it," said Zitos, catching up.
Numeon frowned, eager to be moving again, but some nascent instinct holding him firm.
"See it? The spearhead. It wasn't there, brother." "He removed it. That's why he has returned to us. He must have..."
Numeon paused, suddenly struggling to think.
"This isn't real.
Where are we?"
The part of the ship they were in looked unfamiliar and yet utterly ubiquitous. Numeon shook his head, trying to banish the fog across his thoughts.
"It doesn't matter," he said, resolved to his course again.
"No, wait. Think. Think."
Given the size of a battle barge, there were many regions of the Charybdis he didn't know. Zitos nodded, the same uncertainty of thought evident in his movement. Together they made for the end of the junction and turned sharply to see Vulcan waiting for them. He was beckoning, but did not respond to either of his sons.
"Do you smell that?" Numeon whispered. "Our father is here, Atelos. He is among us again."
"He is not. This wraith isn't him. It can't be him. Can it?"
It was as if Zitos had not heard him, but Numeon was certain he had spoken. Though Vulcan's presence was unmistakable, barely 50 strides away, he was shrouded in gloom. And as Zitos and Numeon edged closer, another shadow slid out of the darkness, like an assassin's blade silently slipping from its sheath. He who was one with the night, the orphan of Nostromo. Conrad Kurz. Both Zitos and Numeon had weapons drawn, but Kurz shrank behind Vulcan, acting almost as his shadow. Neither could draw a bead. The smell returned, an odd aroma, distinctly out of place, out of phase. Burnt metal? Numeon could see no fire. The deck was cold, like the shark's eyes of Kurz. Zitos was running, shouting for Vulcan to turn and see the killer at his back. Numeon smelled burning metal and now felt the heat warming his greave.
"I have to awaken." A hot aura bled off the fuller where it remained clamped at Numeon's side. At his slightest touch, the lie unraveled and the dream faded, revealing the ghost deck and the gaping chasm between it and the one below that Zetos heedlessly careered towards. Numeon fired three shots into the air with Basilisk to stop Zetos from plunging to his death. But a moment beforehand, a flicker of movement passed over the Primarch, and Vulcan's beckoning changed into a desperate plea to stop. Even from a distance, Numeon could see him mouth the word, "Don't." The bolt shells came later. By then, Zetos had already slowed enough so the warning made a difference. Before them lay a chasm. The tear between decks resembled a fanged maw of twisted struts and mangled rebar. A jagged lip of bent metal led off into darkness. Zetos teetered at the brink of it, the lie lifted from his gaze a moment later than Numeon. On the other side of the gap, the girl from the bridge stood exactly where Vulcan had been. Zetos made for his sidearm, but Numeon's voice through the vox stalled his hand.
"Don't waste your ammunition or your anger."
The girl slowly retreated, giggling as she bled back into the shadows.
"What is that thing?" asked Zetos,
as Numeon came to stand beside him.
"I suspect we'll find out very soon, brother."
He looked around at the cold deck, bereft of atmosphere.
"I can't even remember coming here."
Zetos slowly shook his head.
"How can we trust our eyes now?"
"Trust your instinct, Zetos."
He brandished the sigil, recalling the last second transformation in his Primarch.
"And trust Vulcan."
Numeon brought up the data screed over his retinal display.
"Ship's schematic has us close to where Adisyan's ident puts him. We didn't deviate far."
Still shut off from the Charybdis's wider vox feed, they could locate the shipmaster, but not contact him. Only a single deck separated the salamanders from Adisyan, but they had to move fast. As a boy on Terra, and later as a cadet in the fleet, Adisyan had heard tales of the Sirens. Back then, he had treated them with the same seriousness as he would the Myrwyrd or the Kraken. Such beasts were antiques of myth and legend, the tales of the Voidborn or aging shipmasters who had spent too long away from civilization. Since the war, he had seen many things that defied explanation, but nothing like the apparition of Maelissa. No rational explanation existed for it, so Adisyan had recalled the myth of the Sirens. Often in the guise of beautiful women, they would lure gullible sailors to their doom. In the void, that meant the wake of a solar flare or the gaping maw of a black hole. Aboard the Charybdis, it was even more insidious. This siren had lured Adisyan with his grief, but now its lie had been exposed, it would not be denied its due. His soul. Even as he fled, protected by Ushaman's aegis, he could feel the essence of his mortality being slowly leached away. He wondered if it would be so bad to submit to the soul hunger.
"Hold to your purpose."
The librarian's voice was like a clarion call ringing through the fog of Adisyan's self-doubt.
"There is no surrender for you or I, shipmaster. A soul is not consumed and then at peace. It will burn forever in eternal torment."
"Did you read my mind?"
"Your weakness is obvious."
They had paused for a moment so Ushaman could get his bearings and marshal his strength.
The librarian looked gaunt, as if it were his essence and not Odysseus being drawn out by the sirens.
So is yours, Odysseus replied. How much longer can we keep going?
Until I can get us to the librarium.
He sagged, as if the strength in his legs was about to give out, and had to lean heavily on the wall to stop from falling to his knees.
I have fashioned wards.
Usherman gasped for breath, and the glow around his eyes began to fade.
She is close.
Absent for so long, the playful giggling returned. Its echo reached them before Odysseus saw her.
Librarian!
Usherman's answer was a crash of power armor hitting the deck. He had slipped into unconsciousness.